Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is David Liebrich, Commissioner of the Financial Management Service within the U.S. Department of the Treasury. Dave, as I understand it, in fiscal year 2010, FMS issued more than $1 billion in non-defense payments. Would you elaborate on the key strategies your agency is pursuing in this area to enhance a secure, effective, and efficient disbursement of government funds?
Well, this is one of those areas where, you know, you mentioned the figure, we made payments to over 100 million people, and we make payments every month to a significant number of people. And again, I would emphasize how that is so important to us and how, you know, how that's important to people we make payments to. Mm-hmm. So one of our overarching objectives is to make sure that we have timely, accurate, and efficient disbursement of federal payments. And the all-electronic effort has been a key component of that. And the premise behind electronic is no doubt that it's less expensive to make an electronic payment. In fact, it costs about $1 to produce a check, and it costs, you know, roughly 10 cents to issue electronic payments. So there's clearly a very strong benefit to the government of more efficiency. But really, as anyone who gets direct deposit knows, direct deposit's really good for the receiver of the payment as well. You know your payment's going to be there on time. You know it's going to be there securely. Every year, we have close to 500,000 checks that are fraudulently altered or lost along the way. And so and during hurricane and tornado season, as we've seen recently, the ability to make that payment and know it's going to be there electronically is a big deal. And in fact, when we were during Hurricane Katrina, there were people who were actually waiting for their payments because they were waiting for their check to come before they would evacuate. Well, those who had like direct deposit were able to access those funds anyplace, and I think that that's a significant benefit. So we really have looked hard at of moving toward the electronic area in this way. And we issued a regulation earlier this year in which all new payments as of May 1 will need to be made electronically. And then by 2013, all existing beneficiary payments will need to be made electronically. So we have quite a challenge ahead of us in the next 2 years to convert close to 10.5 million people from getting check payments to electronics. When this effort was tried previously, we had some difficulty in that if you didn't have a bank account, what would you do? Well, in the last 2 years, we now offer something called the Direct Express Card. And a Direct Express Card is a prepaid debit card in which the funds are loaded on the card every month. And many states have similar kinds of programs for their benefit payments. And we've been very pleased. The satisfaction rate for the card has been upwards of 94%. It has now servicing over 1.5 million people are enrolled in the card. And that's a real benefit in the sense that in the past, those people might have had to go to check cashers, which are, you know, can be anywhere from, you know, $20 to cash a check. And now they know they get their money securely. And the card looks like any other card, so you can use it at any point of sale. You can use it at ATM machines within the system and at banks over the counter to withdraw money, pay bills online. And so it's been very successful. And it's provided it's addressed a concern that had been previously about what do you do if someone doesn't have a bank account? And we now have that solved. So we're starting to make some real traction in a very short period of time on the program, and it's very exciting for us because we know at the end of the day, $400 million of savings over a five-year period, making a real difference, and a good product. And as we know, you know, people, once you get direct deposit, you very rarely go back to a check at that point.
Well, I do have a question before I get into the organizational changes that will have to ensue once you move from paper to the electronic environment. I do have a question around how are you engaging and doing outreach with the folks who receive payments?
It's very interesting in the federal career that marketing and education is a really important skill and not one I would have recognized when I was in graduate school or as an undergraduate, or maybe early in my federal career. We do partnerships with law enforcement agencies, with church groups, with retirement community, of really trying to reach out and say, you know, this is direct deposit's a good thing. It's good for you. It's, you know, it's more secure. But what we have going on right now, which is a very interesting, because we mail a check to someone once a month, we do have the ability to reach them once a month with a message. And so we've been starting to up those efforts so that by the time we get to 2013, we really won't have many people who will be in a situation where they're not receiving, where they are receiving a check and they need to convert.
So transitioning that to the organizational alignment. So FMS, how is it changing or how do you anticipate changing how you're organized, your production model, given the decrease in check volume and other changes in payment business?
In 1976, there were close to 11 disbursing agencies across the country within FMS. We're now at four. And we're going to be repurposing another one this year. Austin's going to repurpose from a financial center to a debt collection center. And to kind of give you a sense of that, the impact on the organization, check production was a very labor-intensive process. So we really built our organization around check production in large measure. So if you go back to 1976, we had roughly 2,800 employees. And during that time, we were processing around 666 million payments a year. This year, we will process 1.1 billion payments with roughly 1,800 employees. So that translates to 65% more payments with 38% fewer employees within the organization. That's just how much more efficiencies you can gain from the electronic side. We will have this past year produced close to 190 million checks. We're seeing that number go down significantly and, you know, probably will end up somewhere in the 50 million range by 2013 because we will continue to produce tax refunds that they were not covered by the all electronic initiative. So that will be a significant change to the organization. And we are really looking right now at what the most optimal configuration is for the organization and the skill sets that we're going to need on a going forward, because we're going to need much more people comfortable with electronic skills than we are people who are used to doing manufacturing,
sure,
producing checks.
Yeah. So actually, that was an interesting conversation around payments. I'd like to transition to collections. I understand that FMS administers one of the world's largest funds collection systems. In FY10, the Bureau collected, I think, on the order of $2.94 trillion in federal revenues. What are you doing to provide customers with an accurate, secure, and convenient way to process collections while promoting and expanding the use of the electronic media?
The All Electronic Initiative had three components to it primarily. The first component was on the payment side, which we talked about already. The second side was on the collection. And then the third was about the electronic invoicing. But the second piece was collections. And we had 85% of the dollars that we collect right now come in electronically. But as part of the All Electronic Initiative, we issued a regulation in December saying as of January 1, small businesses no longer would be able to submit their payments through paper coupons, something we call FTDs, a federal tax deposit. That effort was tried about 14 years ago and didn't succeed. But the world had changed in the last 14 years. And the reason why it didn't succeed was there wasn't as many much comfort with small businesses with using electronic means. So virtually every convenience store and every store now has access to the internet. And the EFTPS system, which is the one that allows us to collect monies electronically, we converted in the last several months close to 1.4 million taxpayers from paper to electronic. Mm-hmm. And it was really quite an accomplishment in a short period of time. And what was done successfully, we know that from the IRS that when you file electronically, there are 31 times less likely to make an error. So that it's a much cleaner process. It's a much simpler process. It's available 24 hours a day to make your payment. We also know from the banking industry side that the process of paper coupon was that any estimates we were receiving between $4 and $8 a coupon to process the coupon. So driving that expense out of the banking system was also a good thing. So when we looked at this was really a very good thing overall. Taxpayer had a more convenient mechanism to make tax payment. Banking industry didn't have to handle the paper as much. So last year in April, we processed about 1.75 paper coupons. This past year, we processed about 366.
That's
a significant decrease, yeah. And converting those number of taxpayers in that short period of time has been really quite an accomplishment. It's also now allowing us to decommission systems. And we're in the process by the end of this year of decommissioning the old paper tax system, which is great. And savings will be in the range of probably $60 million a year from the government side alone.
How does the collections and cash management modernization initiative factor into this overall effort?
We have a number of modernization efforts underway at FMS. And in fact, in January of this year, I sent a letter to all the CFOs describing those changes. And the CCMM effort, our collections and cash management modernization effort, primarily will be invisible to the agencies the changes are, but it was really kind of a rationalization of our systems. And we're estimating, $60 million a year of savings per year by rationalizing those systems. Part of it is the ability to do more check truncation. That is when someone makes a payment over the counter in an agency, that payment immediately goes into the system electronically if it's done by check. We also are developing a system where agencies can look more in more detail on the nature of the transactions. So if the Park Service, for example, submits a deposit ticket with a number of transactions on it, the new TRS transaction reporting system will allow them to look in detail about the nature of that deposit, and will give them better information on financial information along the way. It's one of three major modernization efforts that we have underway at FMS, and will require the agencies to do some things differently. And that's always a challenge to move agencies along to do that. But I think overall, in the end, it will be a significant benefit both for the agencies and for the government overall, in part because they're going to have a better detailed information about their transactions and have access to that information.
We've got a ton of work happening on the payment side, the collection side. I'd like to transition a little bit to the accounting and reporting side. And particularly, FMS has several efforts underway to increase the quality and timeliness of government-wide accounting and reporting. Would you elaborate on some of the key issues you're pursuing?
The key issues there are capturing transaction detail at the time of transaction is really the basic premise behind our government-wide accounting effort. I think maybe the simplest analogy is online banking. If you go to your online bank and you look at it, you can see what your deposits are in real time. You can see what your payments are in real time. You can see what your interest is in real time. And the premise behind the government-wide effort is that if you're able to classify your transactions at time of transaction, you'll then be able to get that information in real time, much like you can at your bank. Right now, the government spends a lot of time and a lot of money at month end doing reconciliation, trying to figure out where all the transactions are going. And I think the best analogy there would be is if you and a partner had a bank account and you knew that it was in your names, but you didn't know exactly where the funds were actually going, you'd have to reconcile that at month end, and it's a very difficult process. With the government-wide accounting modernization effort, it really is about being able to see that transaction more clearly, the time of transaction, to separate it and know exactly which account it should be going to. We have told the federal agencies that FMS systems will be ready to accept transactions in that form by the end of 2012. And we're expecting the federal agencies to be ready by the end of 2014 with their systems.
As a follow-up, I understand that Treasury and OMB are working and looking to reduce the cost of finance across government. Would you describe some of the initiatives FMS is planning or have underway to reduce the cost of government-wide finance?
The third leg of the all-electronic, which I think has a lot of promise for government as a whole, is electronic invoicing. In fact, we have estimates that if the government fully implemented electronic invoicing, we would see savings in the range of $400 to $500 million a year. And we've done some pilots with something which at FMS called the Internet Payment Platform, IPP, where we've seen in agencies embracing it, seeing their cost of producing an invoice or processing an invoice go from roughly $80 an invoice to roughly $40 an invoice. So you're seeing a significant amount of savings. And in one pilot that we did between the Bureau of Engraving and Printing and the Bureau of Public Debt, when we took a pause in the pilot, contractors with the federal agencies said, no, don't turn the system off, because they found it so much more easy to do business with the government through doing electronic invoicing rather than the current system of sometimes having a hard time find exactly where your invoice is. So we had the Department of Interior is embracing IPP, and Department of Treasury and a number of other agencies are now moving to this electronic invoicing system. And I think that over time, as we look across government, there are significant benefits for this, and something that I think as a centralized service is a direction people should be looking. I would also say that when we're looking across government, things like improper payments is a big deal. And FMS can be very helpful in that regard, and agencies need to be very helpful in terms of looking at, are we making the right payments to the right people for the right amounts? The ability to be more analytical and scientific in that will significantly reduce those improper payments that are being made. And then I think finally, what I think most government agencies are seeing, and OMB has been very strong on this, is data center consolidation. You know, the amount of money that agencies are spending on data centers and the ability to consolidate those into smaller numbers, there are significant savings across government in that regard as well.
So, David, all of the initiatives, and you've got a boatload of them that are really focusing in on changing the operational model of your bureau. How are you looking to create a results-oriented performance culture in that kind of an environment?
In large measure, you know, I would start by saying that you have a better chance for results in an organization if you have a strong managerial core. Mm-hmm. And I think that starts in part with do your managers understand their responsibilities as managers to lead within an organization? And that's as simple as everything from things like time and attendance to setting performance expectations. So we at FMS spend a lot of time of making sure that we train our managers, that they're well-versed in their responsibilities as managers. It then flows in some ways back to what we talked about earlier in the sense that you have to have a good strategic direction for the organization. You need to make sure that it's aligned and people can see that so that they can see a line of sight between the strategic, tactical, and their performance plan. At FMS, recently also undertook an effort to change our performance measures. So we have grouped our performance measures in five categories that we think are important. One is efficiency. How much does it cost to produce a check? How much does it cost to issue electronic payment? We do outcomes. We have performance measures on outcomes. We have performance measures on output. And then we have performance measures on customer satisfaction and employee satisfaction, thinking that these are the important things for us as an organization to be measuring and making sure that we're focused on our people within the organization, we're focused on our customers, and we're focused on the business as it relates to what we produce, how well we produce it, and how much we produce along the way. Giving that line of sight in the organization and having employees see that is really important. And we've had some successes, for example, in the area of the speed with which we produce our checks, the processing times, and having the ability for one financial center to see how another is doing. And we've seen in situations where, for example, even changing ink, one center would take 15 minutes, another center would take 45 seconds. And we were trying to figure out, you know, why is it in that business process? Why was one able to do it in 45 seconds and one not able to do it? And to be able to learn from that. And when you measure and you have a performance culture and you're thinking about your systems, those are the kinds of questions that come up and those are the kinds of questions that get addressed and how you become more efficient as an organization.
How is FMS streamlining and enhancing its core functions for the future? We will ask David Liebrich, Commissioner of the Financial Management Service within the U.S. Department of the Treasury, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.